gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
I'm John Lobster. Adam Sandler, the old joke goes, does one movie every 10 years to convince you he's actually a good actor. 2019's Uncut Gems joins Punch Drunk Love and the Meyerowitz stories as Sandler's third certified fresh film role, but it has more in common with some of his rotten outings, like Grown Ups, Little Nicky, and I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. It's disorienting, hard to watch, and leaves you feeling a little dirty. Sandler plays jewelry dealer and gambling addict Howard Ratner in the Safdie Brothers' cinematic equivalent of a cocaine and Red Bull bender through the seedy underbelly of New York City's nicest pawn shops, restaurants, and suburban middle school plays. Howard is just one lucky break away from hitting it big, losing everything, leaving his wife, keeping his family together, living large, or getting himself killed. And you are strapped in for the ride in what pretty much everyone called the most stressful movie ever made. Uncut Gems dug up $50 million at the box office and scored heaps of praise for Sandler. But is it a diamond in the rough of the SNL alum's career? Or, like a great-looking but fake Rolex, is the film just a knockoff of a better movie? Gentlemen, Uncut Gems.
It's a knockoff of a better movie.
Go on. Don't stop there.
I could not get into this movie. Maybe it's because I can't stand Adam Sandler, and when he's trying to be serious, I cannot see him anywhere else. The Goatee kind of help a little bit, but it's basically a less interesting version of... What was the Aronofsky movie about addiction?
Oh, Requiem for a Dream?
Yep. It's basically the same thing. It's all people stuck in their loop, and the only person that gets out of the loop is the ex-wife. And it's very... I don't know. It's trying to be artsy, but I don't think they pull it off. They're just lucky that they have like a couple of great B-actor around them, But I was not a fan. That was a long movie, too. It's a good 2 hours.
Yeah, it's 2:15, I believe. I liked it. I just... I don't know. I mean, it's like... It is a very nonstop, heart-pounding, you know, he's a fucking addict in the capital A sense of the word.
He's a sex addict. He's definitely a gambling addict. He's... probably
I think he likes the hustle.
Yeah, the hustle, yeah.
It's not a comfortable movie in any sense of the terms. I don't think I'll go back and watch it 100 times over my life, but I mean, I liked how fast-paced and quick-talking it was. Who is this guy? But I had to turn on the subtitles just because there was so much gibberish that it was nice to kind of pick up all that slang. I wouldn't say I had fun with it, but I definitely enjoyed the manicness of it, even though it was a bit much at the end.
The thing that struck me the most as I was watching it, and you kind of have to know this about me, is I am a student of the con. Like, I love to look for the Ocean's 11 type, okay, who knew what when, like, what is his long game that he's playing with this hustle that he's doing, right? Like, I was convinced that everything that happened up until basically after the auction, right, was on purpose. Because it there's just enough sort of, like, it can't have all happened by coincidence, right? That, you know, Garnett being there, seeing the opal, wanting to keep the opal. All right, I'll give it to you. And, you know, kind of the, you know, beleaguered thing. And then, like, it's how much is it really worth? And then, you know, getting his stepfather to the or his father-in-law to bid on it, and the whole thing. Like, there's a con that the British hip hop band The Streets make famous. That you do with a dog, right? and it's this long con about convincing someone that something worthless is actually worth something, right?
Right.
And that, the whole movie, I'm like, okay, this is what this is. But obviously at the end, you realize that he's literally repeatedly had horrible, horrible luck just this entire time.
He also kind of maybe got conned too by being lied to how much the opal was worth when he purchased it and how much he could, you know, I mean, there's so many layers of con and so much. He is a fucking degenerate. I mean, he can't even have... I mean,
definitely self-destructive, for sure.
He can't have Kevin KG's ring in his hand for more than an hour before he goes and he fucking places it on a cash bet against... When you have bookies and collections people after you, you might want to pay them some money when you have it and not keep fucking cyclically adding... adding to your debt.
Yeah.
Try not to have bookies after you, okay?
Oh, his girlfriend, though, that got away with the $1.2 million. I love her. Uh-huh. I love her.
Yeah, but...
First film role.
She did Playboy before this, though, so...
Well...
But you have to assume that she's going to flop it all. She's going to spend it all because she's still in that loop. She's in the same loop. She came back to him where the ex-wife refused. She got out of the loop.
Correct, but he wasn't cheating on her. He was cheating on the ex-wife. She was his... I mean, there was a different relationship between Howard's mistress and Howard's wife. She probably was going to go back to the same loop, but she also didn't have the influence of Howard there. And the jewelry store is gone now. So basically, she's got $1.2 million. She is fucking scot-free.
And the wife has nothing, right?
Right.
The wife, there is no, you know, 50% in the divorce, you get half. I mean, unless they own the house outright and the car, she has no assets because unless, you know, they don't hint at this, that she's sort of independently wealthy. Obviously, it's a Broadway star, Idina Menzel, so like she's a megastar in her own right. But there is nothing to tell you that she's going to be okay on her own with three kids.
Yeah.
And like Beef said, the jewelry store gets cleaned out at the end. So
I don't understand why that dude shot him. Like that.
Because he was pissed off.
But. This guy just won $1.2 million, and if he owes you money, if you really want to kill him after he pays you.
Right.
I mean, that was like shocking to me. I didn't, even though I should have seen it coming, I didn't.
Well, he saw that Arno was hooked. Arno, through Howard, was into the whole let's bet on the game thing.
Only
like he got there.
Only after he was locked in the room and couldn't stop it. By the end of it, yeah. When he's like, oh my God, we might win, he got into it. But he was still, again, a dead man pays no debts.
Yeah, that's a good point.
On the other end,
it's so pissed that I think that's the thing. You saw him wanted to kill him from the start. So.
He looked like a knockoff older version of Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. So one of the cool things about this movie is it's almost, with the exception of you have Adam Sandler, Judd Hirsch, and Idina Menzel, it's mostly unknowns.
I love that. Or
like Kevin Garnett, people who have never acted before.
I thought that was brilliant.
Sorry. Lakeith Stanfield, I should say. Lakeith Stanfield, we know. Beef and I just watched him in another movie this week. And of course we know him from wonderful things like Knives Out.
I like the fact that no one was, you didn't have some big random person pop up that you knew, like a bit character, or, you know, there were only a couple actual actors. You shared an article with us in our group, me, and it talked about one of the ways that this movie stays so uneasy is that when there are these times of tension and shit's going on that you don't know what's going to happen next, there is no funny dude from Ant-Man to pop up, mm-hmm. or there is no like somebody that you know from something else to relieve the tension, and I think that really does a service to the movie because you don't know what the fuck's gonna happen.
And a lot of guys they cast right on the street for these roles. That's so cool. one of the two brothers at the pawn shop, like they're real brothers who work at a pawn shop. Like these are just real guys that they cast in this movie. I want to say the heavy Phil, you know, he was one of the guys that just kind of gets cast from the street, and it adds such a layer of realism to the film that really immerses you. And there's something about Adam Sandler with his glasses and his fake mole and his fake teeth that you're like, yeah, you know, it's not the water boy, right? This is not Billy Madison.
For a while, I really believed he was just a Diamond District hustling Jewish dude, like gave no fucks, could care less, and just did it. That's for, like, I bought into it. He played this pretty well. There were only one or two times, and I was going to write them down, but I didn't, where he said something. Or did something. There was an inflection in his voice where I was like, that's Adam Sandler. But right away, he switched it back off, so I wasn't, like, in Waterboy mode.
Yeah. No, it slips out a couple times. But at the same time, when you do hear it, I guess one of the things that I kind of have an issue with is this film has been described as a dark comedy. And while I think there are moments that are funny, I don't think it's being funny, haha. Like, it's not trying to make you laugh with some dry turn of wit. You're laughing. It's that uncomfortable laugh.
Yeah, it's more like the nervous, like, oh, that's, I get it.
Yeah, it's black humor. It's not supposed to be like, oh, he just fell on the floor. That's so funny. It's more like, look, he got shot in the face and he's still smiling.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I probably would be too if I just won 1.2 million.
That is the happiest he'd ever been. Probably the richest he'd ever been, even though he didn't have it. I mean, isn't that why you gamble? You gamble not to win. You gamble for the feeling.
No, I gamble to win, and the feeling feels great. But I win, I mean, it's
an addict. Yes, a true addict.
Well, I had a heroin addiction for many years, so yes, an actual addict will do it just for the feeling. Oh, fuck. But I thought, okay, now cut to the end of the movie. Howard just gets shot in the face. She's upstairs in the hotel with this really weird pilot guy with the plastic face. And
I think somebody else they cast just off the street.
She's like squeeing and giggling that she just won. And then they cut back to Howard dead on the floor, and they cut back to the casino. And this guy is walking out of the hotel with the bags of money.
Yeah.
I thought,
you thought he took her out?
Absolutely.
Took her ticket?
I thought he killed her or stole her ticket. She's tied up and gagged in the room, and he's walking out with that. I did not see her smiling in a limo at the end being any possibility for about 30 seconds there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the scene in the helicopter, he talks about how he's won so much money he doesn't know what to do with it anymore.
Okay.
So, and I think all he wants is like some kind of human connection.
And he did have a presidential suite, and
Yeah. So, but that was nice of him.
I seriously thought she was dead.
Well, I think this movie does play with your expectations. The one that got me was the give me the keys to your car.
Naked in the trunk? Yeah, I don't
just circle back and shove him in his own trunk.
I don't understand that. Was that just to pop the trunk and put him in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was just to fuck with him.
Yeah, because having to call your wife
We didn't mention this. The guy that he owes all this money to, who he's sending the toughs after him, is his brother-in-law.
It's his sister's his sister's husband or his wife's sister's husband?
I think wife's sister's wife's husband.
Because sister he's married in. I don't know if he's not he's not Jewish.
He's married in, and Arno is married in. No, they're all Jewish.
Well, because when they were at like the dinner, the dad looked at Arno shitty, like, I got to deal with like a imposter in my house or something. And I thought that was because he married in and he wasn't Jewish. That's why he didn't let him read the prayer. But neither here nor there.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Give me his boxers, too. I want his boxers.
They rip them off.
Yeah. Rick. So great.
Honey, I locked my keys in my trunk. That's far enough. Just stay
I'm fine.
There.
Go away.
go away. That's all you
And then you
do.
Go back into the rehearsal or the whatever, the play, wearing a second your set trunk of clothes.
Oh, your trunk clothes. Oh. Nobody wants to wear their trunk clothes.
Do you know how bad those smell like the gym?
Yeah. I mean, those are the clothes that you're out and you're like, oh, fuck, I can't go anywhere in these. And you change and just chuck them in the trunk of your car. Hang on, I got to let the dog out. Give me 1 second.
Who let the dogs out? Lob. Who? Lob. Lob. Hoop. Lobster.
See if I can do it.
It's not a great movie, but were there any parts that that had some redeeming quality to you, Wing? Like, beginning, middle, and end, it doesn't have much. It's just a gambling Jones the whole fucking time.
Yeah, and it's a very, like, three-act structure movie and all of that, so... The ending Wing, was kind of fun.
I got a bone to pick with you. I want you to talk about the ending, but I have a bone to pick with you. Go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, the ending, once they start, like, getting stuck in between the doors and all of that, that part, I had, like, some fun. I was like, oh, thank God. So the last couple of minutes, yeah, sure, I had some fun, but I had 2 hours of that before where I was like, okay, sure. So, now I'm really not a fan of this. It's not the worst movie I've seen. It's just not engaged at all.
Do you think that you like that part because there was a little bit of Chekhov's, you know, funky door that doesn't always work right?
Maybe. Or at this point, there was a bunch of things coming together. So yeah. I was like, oh, okay, at least there's a payoff.
I don't understand why he let them back in instead of just letting them go out.
I thought he pushed the wrong button. Like, I just assumed there was 2 buttons, but there was only one the whole time. Yeah. See, I kept looking for the... You kept talking about the con. I had to, like, shut my brain off a bit because I kept looking for the bait and switch, too.
Yeah.
When he first gives her the money and she goes out and places... Or, no, he places the bet. When he texts Arno, I have the money for you. And then he goes in and he wins a bunch of money, but Arno stops the bet or whatever. I thought... Because he goes back to the restaurant and he's walking home with a bag of food from the restaurant. I thought it was a pile of cash. And then she comes home with a bag from the same restaurant. And I'm thinking, okay, did she go get the money?
Smith and Walensky.
Like, it seemed like it was going to be more. Huh. I don't know. Yeah. And then it was just fucking food bags for both of them. Yeah. And I'm like, God damn it.
That's a good observation, though.
Well, the bookie was in the restaurant.
There are a couple moments where I do think that a switch happens or could happen. I think definitely when so a lot of the movie is me thinking about the opal and is it real? Because
when he got it back from KG, I was like, is it real? And then they got it wet. I'm thinking some of the dirt would wash off and it wouldn't be real.
Right. So the whole thing of the theatrics of it showing up tucked inside the fish on the same day that Kevin Garnett is coming to the shop. Right. It's just all so coincidental. And then he shows it to him and he's like, oh, no, 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 but I can't let you take it. I can't let you take it. Oh, no, no, no. Like, was that all part of his plan?
Like he said, he's like, I was excited. Like, if you get a new toy, you want to show it off, even if it's not for sale.
But then he goes and bets on the game. Like, he knows that the opal's going to have an effect on his performance. And then when he doesn't have it, it's going to affect his performance. And, like, it all seems so, like, contrived on his part. Like, this was his plan all along.
See, I didn't get that.
And is Damani, is he the wrench in the works? Because he's playing games, too. Because Howard's been stealing his fake watches.
So he's playing to get his 6% or whatever. And
yeah.
See, if I watch it again, I'd try to look at it that way. I just looked at it as he was excited to show off his toy. And then he saw the energy that KG was giving off. And like, he wouldn't let it go. He needed to have it. So then when he happened to have this money and was able to pawn this ring and he had 40 grand in his pocket, he was like, screw it. I saw the energy this dude has. He's a degenerate gambler, so I don't think he can plan that out.
He's an opportunist.
Yeah, I don't think he can plan the long con. Like, right. I never got that from the movie, but I if I watch it again, I'd take a peek at it that way.
And there's all set up in, like, don't lean on the glass. Don't lean on the glass. Right. I told you not to lean on the glass. Like, that's a whole like that's a whole bit that he's doing, it feels like, at times. And when they're at the Passover at the Seder and they're watching the game after, and he's like in front of Arno, he's like, oh yeah, I gave him this rock and this rock is gonna get, you know, it's gonna give me $1 million and this and that. Like I think he knows it's not worth $1 million, but he's trying to like hype it in a way. Oh, you know, their guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
True, but you're worth, there's a term I've heard people say, you're worth what anyone will pay you, right? So if you've got a good word of mouth and you can talk up your own game in basketball or football or anything, even gemology, I take it, if it's worth what someone will pay for it. A Rembrandt, is it really worth $35 million? Well, to the right collector it would be, or whatever, you know?
There's just one.
You do the one with the dog. I mean, you could do it with like a painting or something. Maybe that's a little easier to explain. So you walk into, you know, say a bar or a restaurant, and you're like, I got to run over to the bank. Can I leave this with you, you know, here for a minute? And, you know, so you leave a piece of property with somebody in a public place, and then you go off and do something, get a, you know, burger or whatever. And then you have your buddy come in and go, you know, I'm so sorry to bother you. Is that a Rembrandt that you have there? You know, and they're like, what? No, some guy left it here. He's like, oh, well, you know, this painting here is definitely one of Rembrandt's undiscovered masterpieces. You know, and I should know. I did my doctorate in art history at Cambridge, and you know, if you're interested, I would take that off your hands for $40,000 or whatever.
Yeah, you're just inflating the price.
And then the guy goes, all right, whatever. I'm just watching it for a guy, you know, whatever. All right, well, let me know if you change your mind. And then that person leaves. You come back. He goes, oh, I just got the worst news. You know, I lost my job, whatever. And then they go, well, what about this painting? Are you real attached to that? And you go, no, I'll sell it to you for $20,000.
Right.
You know, and you make 20, you know, off.
There's a watch, you know, or worthless necklace piece of hustle junk. Like that too.
You do the whole thing. And that's what I thought was happening here. Like, I'm sorry that I've just explained to our listeners how to commit fraud, but I thought that was what was going on here. Like the opal is not really worth $1 million, but he's trying to like play different angles to get people who are going to want
it. I thought Arno was going to take it after that, or have someone take it, because he thought it was worth $1 million. See, with this, to
you, me, give me the stone, our debts are clear, you know, whatever.
This felt like a video version, a 2-hour and 14-minute version of Three Card Monty, right? Because it kept me looking in multiple directions. I never knew for sure where the scam or the con, or if he was really this big of a degenerate gambler, or if he just had to pay a debt off. And it turns out, no, he's just a fucking, he's just an addict.
He can't help himself. I got to call Wing out. I said I would, for a movie that this reminded me very much of, a movie that Wing loves, The Secret of My Success.
Oh, God, yes. But I know that The Secret of My Success is a piece of trash, though. So I love that movie.
That is the Michael J. Fox is the concierge at the
Oh, is that where he's like got the stupid? It's always him in the bellhop uniform looking dumb. There's that one picture. Yep. He's look okay.
That's the movie.
And he's always hustling, and he goes to the park, and
we watched that, didn't we?
Very 90-minute movie. Yeah, we watched that.
We did.
Somebody's windows are open, and it sounds like spring.
Those are my windows being open. Wait, is that, or am I thinking for Love or Money? Which one am I thinking of?
Love or Money. The Concierge and Love or Money is the same movie.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's the one I'm thinking of. Michael J. Fox is also in Secret of My Success, but
yes.
That's actually really peaceful.
Is that too loud?
It's interesting. I'm going to fall asleep when I'm editing later, but leave it on.
Okay, sorry. yeah, this movie definitely reminds me of the New York City concierge, hustling, wheeling and dealing. It's just much darker and much more tragic.
A little bit.
He never like stops either, you know, like you're saying. Yeah. He's constantly wheeling and dealing.
Up until the moment he dies.
I don't know. It's so you know, oh, your ring? Oh, your ring? Oh, I'm an idiot. I forgot that at the house.
It's such like, a schmuck.
How do you expect to get the rock back without the... I don't know, man. It's crazy.
A little bit.
So, I guess the question is, this earns praise specifically for Sandler's performance. Do you think this is one of his good movies? Or
okay, I'll tell you how, Wing. You've seen what he's done before. This is one of his good movies. Compared to everything else he's done, this is... He actually is like trying to act a little bit, I think.
Yeah, but listen, if I do eat a third every day, like on the floor and it's brown, and one a day it's white, it doesn't make it less of a turd.
No, so you're saying, wait, all acting is turds? I don't...
Well, if you want to see it that way, but that's not where I want to go.
But, I mean, compared to all of his other stuff he's done, this is at least serviceable, and the movie is not a joke unto itself. I think that's where the acting is at least a bit.
I'll give you that.
Like I said, he does have the capacity, I think, to be a good actor.
I've never seen the other two that you mentioned, so I'm sorry.
I hear great things about Punch-Drunk Love, the Meyerowitz stories he did for Netflix. So, again, like, I think he's got it within him. This is definitely playing to Sandler's strengths in his skills as an actor. I don't know if we'll ever get, like, the full dramatic take because he's a comedian.
Right. This is still close, though. I mean, closer than we'll get. I would have been pissed if I went to see this in the theaters, though, to be honest.
Do you think that would have heightened the panic attack?
A little bit.
So, yeah, something about watching at home, I was like, I can always look at my phone. Whereas if I'm, like, in the theater and everyone else is like,
It was also the, I wouldn't have been able to understand a third of it. I'm glad I was able to flip on the subtitles.
Yes.
Subtitles. I love that kind of dialogue, though. I
do, too.
There's something about, it's so immersive. The beginning of The Vast of Night is kind of the same way, right? It's just so...
That's why I had to turn it on.
So fast. I guess, you know, we did Social Network is like that, but... very Robert Altman. Everybody's talking on top of each other, and... I don't know. This is a tough one for me. I liked the movie in and of itself. I tricked my wife into watching it, and she... was not having it. She thought it was a waste of time. It was too long. It was not funny. And she walked out, I think, before the end of the movie. So,
your wife has taste.
She does. Very. She married me.
Well, we all do a faux pas. What's good?
Oh, my God.
Y'all get a gimme. Y'all get one.
And I really love Julia Fox's butt. Mm-hmm. She's a gorgeous young lady with a big rump.
Did you enjoy seeing Adam Sandler's butt? We saw his butt.
I did. Yeah, it wasn't even tidy whities at one point in time. There was a scene. I got a very Walter White vibe from him.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, this is a little Breaking Bad. Sorry, my wife is texting me pictures of the dog whining outside the office door.
Oh, she's sitting out. Oh, I can't hear her at least.
The colon cancer subplot we didn't even mention, like where he's waiting to find out if he has colon cancer.
That was a total like two sentence thing. It opens with a what you call it, and then they basically pop.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah, his phone call getting back. Like no, we're fine. While he's screaming at someone else. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So I mean, what else do we have on this other than it was a spastic? Sometimes he acted, sometimes he didn't, not at all to Wing. I mean,
I thought it was a great cast. I think overall, one of the cool strengths of the movie is all the randos that are in it.
Yes.
Yes. We all agree on that.
Because they took all these random people in their own fields, so they really don't have to, they don't have to act. You know what I mean? They're just themselves in these roles.
The movie actors are good. You're Idina Menzel, you're Lakeith Stanfield. Everyone else is either like not a well-known actor or a first-time actor, so it makes it seem more authentic, I think.
You can try that in other things and it's not working, but this one is well made. What's the one that Clint Eastwood did with the actual hero of a train that stopped some terrorist? What was that?
I don't know.
That was last year. Anyway, he tried that like a dare the people. They lived it. That didn't work. And it's rare. It's rare that you have like a big faux pas like that from a Clint Eastwood.
I don't remember him doing that, but you know, Clint Eastwood is—he's getting old now.
I vaguely remember what you're talking about, but I don't recall.
Beef should recall. He's the one that's watching Oscar movies these days.
The Mule? That's the only one Clint Eastwood did in the last couple of years that I remember is The Mule. But he wasn't. He didn't do anything with a terrorist. He like...
No, that's not the one. I'll find it.
Well, if one of our listeners knows, they'll inform us.
Or not.
Oh.
Shall we do the thing?
Yeah.
Scrap the whole bet. I want to do a parlay instead. Six ways, all in one game. What's the spread for rating this movie? Wing, for Uncut Gems, are you going legendary?
Diamond status.
Legend of its time.
This is me. This is how I win.
Cult legend.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm still Adam from the block. Used to be on SNL, now I got shot. But I know where I came from. Brooklyn.
Awesome.
This is old school Middle Earth shit.
That was a great line. Entertaining.
Pawn Star.
Mayable.
A diamond from the rough part of town.
Forgettable.
Fool's Gold.
Abysmal.
So put on your Furby chain. I'll never watch this movie again. Not even having the ending explained would make me watch this movie again.
Spring Breakers D&D.
The Bling Ring.
That's a good movie.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With the side of, remember live sports, guys? Remember when that was a thing and you could bet on athletes and stuff?
Thank God it's done. I'm going to give this a solid forgettable. I'm not going to remember that in a year when you're going to... If we're like, oh, do we do that for Hog Eyes or something? I'll never remember that we watched that. So, yeah, that's a solid forgettable. Like, very solid. On top of it, it's like one of the actor that I can't stand in Hollywood. So, It does not help this movie. So maybe with a less frenetic train and a little bit more character exploration, but the way it's there, that's not my bag. Not my jam at all.
Not my tempo.
Beef?
I got to go somewhere around entertaining. Pawn Star. It was...
Pawn Star.
I had a good time with it, even though it was a horrible time. It was very stressful. It was nonstop spastic, frenetic movie. I did have to pause it and get up and take a leak and like scratch my head and walk around a few times just because I was like, all right, I need to like, whew. But I did enjoy it because it was a look at, I mean, that's super addiction right there and everything else that goes into making a person like that who's always chasing the highs. Yeah, I go entertaining. Lobster?
I don't know. I might have to go a step above you and go awesome, much like the Arkenstone, which drove Thorin Oakenshield mad, at least temporarily. This is old school Middle Earth shit. I don't know. There's something about this movie that I really got into, which was... How much worse can this get? Like, what else can we put this guy through? Or what else could he do to himself to make his situation even worse? I don't know if I ever fully am Team Howard, right? Like, I don't know if I'm ever rooting for him or I'm meant to root for him. I do kind of want it to end, right? Like, there's this feeling of, I just want this to be over. Like, get it over with. Either let him win or let him die, or you know, just let's put an end to this suffering that we're all going through. And I think that's a brave thing for a movie to do. I mean, obviously, following this character the entire time, and just to see them get shot in the face at the end for, I mean, really, there's not a good reason why he gets shot. Like, yeah, he was a jerk. He locked those guys in a glass terrarium for 2 hours, smelling each other's farts, and they're smoking and the whole deal. But, I mean, he also could have given you a lot of money if you just let him live. So it never really made sense. And, of course, they've all got to be on camera while they're stealing the thing. How are they, you know, how do they get out? Do they buzz each other out? How's that work? I don't know.
Well, at the end, they're talking about take the electronics. Make sure you take the electronics. So it sounds like they're trying to get the...
I mean, you know, one of those Furbies has a hidden camera in it. They're not stealing those.
They also have, well, I would. It's got a lot of gems in it. They also have the Howard's in there with them dead, and he has keys.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I don't know. I don't know why Howard let them back in. I don't understand that. Like, you let him go out the front and be like, okay, I'm never leaving until I get my $1 million, so y'all can wait in the hallway for me or whatever, but...
You wanted to brag.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I suppose. But again, there's something about this movie. I can't put my finger on it 100%, but it's a hair above entertaining for me. It's got that je ne sais quoi that... It's something primal in it. I don't know. Old school, Middle Earth shit.
Last word on Uncut Gems.
Money, 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 money.
Rough.
Miss Fox. That butt.
She's going to do more stuff, right?
God, she has a great rump. I don't know. I love her, though. She was. I like how she could be gorgeous, classy, or gorgeous, like when they went to the hip-hop club with her hair up. Like, I was a fan.
The Weeknd.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be big, even though he's Canadian.
Right.
Beef, what time is it?
Nose time.
All right. So we are still in quarantine mode, although we are starting to see things slowly reopen in this weird world we live in. The box office pretty much the same as last weekend. No big shocks. Becky is sitting at number one. The Wretched is at number two. This movie Strike is on there. Trip to Greece, Fox Hunter, Sex in the Future, True History of the Kelly Gang, How to Build a Girl. I don't know. Like, anybody going to the movies?
No. Hell no. Why would I go to the movie? I'd like to live.
All right. So how about streaming, video on demand? You checking anything out on there? We got some top movies.
Not
like
a lot.
Like Scoob.
I really do want to watch that, though.
Me too.
Scoob looks good. Let's see. Nothing. No big surprises here. Let's see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing big is jumping out at me.
No, people are still talking about Tiger King, so.
So, moving into news, rest in peace, DC Comics and Batman writer Dennis Denny O'Neill, age 81. Wayne, can you tell us a little bit about some of his work?
Well, the main thing why he's very recognized in the Batman world is that he took the post-Adam West Batman with Neil Adams.
Bat shark repellent and so forth.
Exactly. And took with Neil Adams as co-writer and the artist, and they made the, you know, after Adam West you had that more like lean Batman with a very long ear, blue cape, gray suit, and the introduction of Ra's al Ghul and all of that in the 70s. So
making the Joker scary again.
Making everybody scary again, putting pants on Robin.
Brought back Two-Face.
So he's one of the seminal artist slash writer that went through the 70s and redefined the character for a decade or maybe 15 years until Frank Miller changed it again. But he was what kept Batman going after it was just camp. So he's one of the genius, and he's going to be missed. He was still working recently, so.
Well, that's a loss for sure. So
we're losing all the greats, huh? They're all around the same age right now.
It's hard. So looking at the cinematic calendar, we are not seeing things open up quite fast enough. So we do have a couple of shuffles on the release date calendar. The one we've all been waiting for is Tenet. So Tenet,
what's with the 2 week now, push?
It for now is pushed back 2 weeks to July 31st. That apparently is they were trying to make a compromise with Christopher Nolan, who did not want to move because he didn't care whether it makes money or not, because he's Christopher Nolan. So Warner Brothers said, okay, we'll keep it in July, but the absolute last day in July that we could do. So I think we'll see that move again. Wonder Woman moved to October 2nd from August 14th.
That's really solid.
In a little bit bigger shifts, Godzilla moved from November 20th, 2020 to May 21st, 2021. The Matrix 4 from March 5th, 2021 to April 1st, 2022.
Some of these big jumps to me, it's just like the shit wasn't ready.
Yeah, well, these movies are still in production. Yeah. So, again, they're not able to work on them, so they're not going to meet their post-production.
Push back that much more.
Yep. So Unhinged will move back to July 10th from July 1st. And then in a rare move of a movie opening a few days earlier, No Time to Die will open 5 days earlier on November 20th instead of November 25th.
Yeah, they're just moving around for publicity reason and stuff like that, probably.
Yeah, because they're not gonna release new trailers. They're not going to put more stuff out. But again, it's not looking good for wide release anytime soon.
No.
And going along with that, the art house and specialty movie, the awards bait movies, are also not going to get their time to shine. So the Oscars have been pushed back to April 25th, 2021. Shit. They've extended the eligibility window. The BAFTAs followed suit. Usually those are a couple of weeks before the Oscars. So those will now be on April 11th. And these are usually in February. So,
wow.
I mean, they got to do it with everything the way that the world is, clearly.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're following the news, you know that some places are opening back up. Those places are also having big surges in the number of cases of COVID-19. So that makes everyone that much more cautious about taking those same steps.
Does it? I mean, I walk outside every day because I have to go to work, and people seem to care less and less. The more sun, the less they care.
There's still small amount of social distancing by me.
Pretending that it doesn't exist doesn't make it not exist.
I agree.
So that's kind of one of the weird things about this. Wearing masks has become an oddly political thing. Like, people will heckle you or cough in your face or whatever if you challenge them about wearing a mask. That was in the news recently. Listen, we're all in this together, guys. I don't know what else I can tell you. We're never going to get through it if we don't all do our part. So I want the theaters to open back up. So if that means
they're greater good, I'm the greater good that you're ever going to get.
That's right. That is right. Where's my super suit? Okay.
Damn it, woman.
So let's talk about some good news. I don't know why this took so long. HBO Max is like stepping in it left and right.
Oh my God.
We're going to come back to them in a little bit. But HBO does not know what to do now. So they're going to rename HBO Now to just HBO. It's just going to be HBO. And they're going to get rid of HBO Go, which is a little upsetting because it's still, HBO Max is still not available on Roku or Fire Stick. The only thing I have to watch actual HBO content is the HBO Go app, because you can't use HBO Now anymore because it just turned, what are they doing?
They don't know. They're screwing everything up.
They're trying to have a different tier of streaming, and it's not really working well for them.
The brand synergy is not there.
Okay, the only person in America that could describe the three different entities that they were until a few days from now. HBO Go is when you had HBO and you had cable. That's the internet version of it. HBO Now is someone like me who didn't have cable but still wanted the glorious content HBO had. HBO Max is some new amalgamation of shit they rolled out. Some people that had Now, if you had it on the right platform like I did, were fully upgraded to Max. Some people weren't. People like you are going to be screwed on your Roku TV or whatever in like 2 weeks, because they're not going to, if they don't have a deal. Yeah. Shit out of luck.
Give me a deal.
Let's make a deal.
Let's make one.
What I think the problem is also is, there is HBO content on there, but there's a lot of other stuff as well. It's really a Warner Brothers platform, because they've got the Turner Classic Movies, they've got the Looney Tunes, they've got Studio Ghibli, they've got all kinds of stuff, Adult Swim, Cartoon Network, and all of these Warner Brothers movies, but people are just thinking it's more HBO stuff.
But it's so not.
Much more.
And
it's so much
it's
more.
It's so much
but
more.
But I want to watch it on my TV. That's the thing I'm starting to get mad about, is there's a barrier now to me sharing this stuff on a larger screen.
We were talking last time, too, though. Their interface really sucks.
It does suck. It's a little bit.
Kind of a pain.
Do I want to skip the opening titles? Yes. Do I want to? I don't know. That's the one that annoys me.
Even their search and stuff, they're just trying to look at what's where and find stuff. It's harder than it should be.
Oh, another thing that peeves me off, if you're going to give me a watch list, give me a way to put those things in an order of my choosing without having to strategically remove and re-add things to the list. Like, I want to just shuffle things to the top as I want to.
Yes. None of them have that, though. Netflix doesn't have that. I don't think Amazon has that either.
Netflix does. You have to do it in the web app. Huh?
Said you must teach me.
Well, you have to go online and do it, but... Okay. So, guys, remember the phrase, not the mama, from the classic WTF 90s series Dinosaurs. I use WTF in the what the fuck sense. This was a primetime sitcom of people in dinosaur suits. You guys remember it?
I do.
That I remember some of it because it was not translated, so I've seen some part in English that I was not understanding.
This is the years when I was really dumb and formative, but nothing stuck. You know, I was like 11 to 13 or something when this was on.
Yep.
So I do remember it, and I do remember parts of it, but maybe 5 minutes other than not the mama, you know?
I remember I had swimming lessons at like the local YMCA, but I didn't want to be there because I wanted to go home and watch Dinosaurs.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember anything of the show, though?
I vaguely do. Like, I remember the characters. So, there was the mom and the dad. There's the baby. There's a teenage brother and sister. And I want to say there was a grandma-type character. And I remember an episode they were going to take the grandma character and put her in the tar pit, like, because it was her time to go. And I remember they did a puberty episode where the girl dinosaur got her tail, and that was like, you know, she grew boobs, but it was her tail.
Oh, my God.
that's the kind of stuff you have to look forward to. Anyway, I bring this all up because it's coming to Disney Plus this fall.
What? Yay, I guess. They're going to re-release it. I take it it's not going to be like a remake or something dumb.
No, no. They're just going to give you the old stuff. But, you know, that seems to be what they're doing. Like, trot out this retro stuff that people vaguely remember and will be excited for.
Yeah.
Speaking of dinosaurs, guys, the first blockbuster to resume production looks like it will be Jurassic World Dominion.
Okay. Sure.
Do you think that's a good one to put back into production?
End of the world stuff? I mean, sure. Why not, right? It's more reality, because...
Yeah, I was thinking it's more like...
Because we need more death, okay?
Less human characters interacting with each other and more human characters interacting with green screen and animatronics and CGI.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean,
I don't know what the deal is, but, you know.
I don't know. I've seen that first of that new batch. I haven't seen the second one. Interested at all. I've heard that I should not.
Let me tell you. If anything's an allegory for opening up too soon when it could cost human lives, it's Jurassic World, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2 has entered production as well, so that's exciting. It's an animated movie, so
yeah, that's got to be pretty easy. Everyone's got their character, they start drawing and storyboarding and shit. I could see this rolling. I'm surprised it wasn't a while ago, but excited. This is what, 2022?
Yeah, it'll be a while, but to go along with that, kind of, it's going to be its own thing, but the next Spider-Man game will be centered on Miles Morales, and that is for the PS5.
Isn't that just a DLC?
Nope. It's going to be its own standalone game, full deal, okay. Right?
I'm really excited for that, but I am not forking out money for the PS5 just yet.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be super expensive.
Yeah.
So we promised we would come back to HBO Max, and we're going to keep that promise. This story didn't surprise me. Well, it surprised me how much people got upset about this. So Gone with the Wind, the, you know, classic film, was pulled from HBO Max amid the backlash over racism and the sort of systemic discrimination and presentation of black characters in cinema. So based on some outcry, HBO said they would pull it and then restore it with some context. So they're going to have Turner Classic Movies host and cinema professor Jacqueline Stewart do an introduction for the restored Gone with the Wind. But what do you guys make of this piece of activism or this?
I like the solution. I love the solution. I think educating people before you start the thing is a great idea.
Yeah, I come down somewhere in the middle, like what Disney did. You know, this may be culturally and socially inappropriate, but this was the time. Whatever they said back when they released stuff on their service. They have to find a way to do it tactfully and smart, because otherwise it's like, if we rip everything from the shelves and don't show this shit or it's not accessible, then you forget history and you're really bound to repeat it. But if you have it out there, you know, and glorify it, then it becomes like it has to be somewhere in the middle, and it's a tightrope, and I don't want to be the people that decide it, but something like the bumper beforehand that tells everybody, hey, these people, you know, thought differently. I don't know. I don't know how you do it, but you have to. Got to try something, right?
I think one of the things that really struck me about this is, yeah, Gone with the Wind does have some rough stuff in it from a modern perspective, right? It's very, very heavily intimated that the Klan is there and institutes Klan justice, and the character of Mammy you know, is a stereotype. And it's, you know, there's this whole thing that people need to be aware of. But Hattie McDaniel, who played Mammy, was the first African-American actress to win an Oscar. So, you know, while you can say, well, you know, this is a bad thing for Black history, it's also, you know, something that is notable in Black history. So I think, you know, you kind of have to have it there to be seen as that artifact. But I do agree with the, you know, context. You have to put context in it. And to be honest, like, they should do this with a lot of stuff on these streaming platforms. You should have an introduction. You should have a little bonus content to kind of put what you're about to watch in context, because so many times you scroll through these services and you're lucky if you get two sentences along with a poster to describe what a piece is, right? Netflix, you know, sometimes you barely get that. And if you, you know, just happen to pull up a movie without watching it, you may not even know what you're looking at.
Good point.
It's, yeah, it's nice to give a disclaimer, and maybe the disclaimers won't be for everybody, but who gives a shit? When they're on there, what's the difference?
And
exactly.
I think all streaming services are kind of dealing with this. I know Disney went through a similar conundrum with some of the stuff that was going to be on their service. They opted to actually censor a few things. They're not releasing some of their more questionable content. I remember a debate over Dumbo and Song of the South and the whole deal. But I think we don't have video stores anymore. We even libraries now don't have copies of these films. So streaming is going to be that repository of cultural memory. And especially when it comes to film, I think as an institution and preserving that institution, we kind of have to have the less favorable elements there. I'm all for putting it in context, but as education, it needs to be there.
Yeah, but Netflix is not into education. They're into entertainment, so...
Well, yeah, their classic films suck. They don't have much. HBO Max, that's one thing to actually really recommend that service. If you're a classic film buff, there's a lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah, there you go. But in the end, I think like a little intro to put context into every movie would be great. Because like you said, it's interesting that it's available. On the other hand, I would start creating like a category in there, like,
yeah, problematic stuff.
Yeah, I would not call it that way. I will
culturally insensitive for the time. I mean, you know, yes. Whatever.
It's trigger warning.
That too. I mean, something here like that, is. Just to let people know, hey, yeah. If you're easily offended, tread lightly, right? Well, or tread lightly, even.
And my thing with Gone with the Wind is not necessarily that it is offensive. But it is culturally
isn't it
not, well,
it's glossing over a bit because it's making the South, in a way it kind of desensitizes what happened during the Civil War. It downplays it, and it's where everybody's just happy to be it,
and it's romanticizing a little bit the Lost Cause and all of that. And I think it's important to kind of understand the context of that, and also like this is written from the perspective of, and again, don't forget, like, based on a novel written by a woman. I mean, this story is historically significant for a lot of reasons, and not just the subject material. So, interesting. We'll see what they do. I'm kind of interested to check it out when they do put it back up and see what that is like. And I would love it. They have all the classic Godzilla films. They've got Hidden Fortress and Seven Samurai and this amazing deep bench of classic films. I would love for some of that TCM content to end up in there as well, so you can learn more about and really educate yourself in these classic films.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, it's time for Beef's Tiger King Corner. And hashtag Quibi sucks. Tiger King star Jeff Lowell. I don't. The evil guy who swooped in and framed, yeah. Mr. What's his face? I can't even think of his name right now. Tiger King. He is being sued.
Joe Exotic.
He is being sued by the state of Oklahoma for at least $50,000 in delinquent taxes. Mr. Lowell continues to say that, well, you saw Mr. Joe Exotic burn all those tax documents. I cannot produce them. So he's whining that you saw them get burned. I don't know why he became instantly really Southern. Yep. But that all that shit was
kind of
burned.
A Vegas guy, right?
Yeah, he was.
He was going to have a threesome with his nanny.
I'm sure he already did. The state agency claims that Lowe was responsible for withholding, collecting, and remitting taxes owed by the now famous or infamous zoo. Of course, on Friday, Lowe shared a video on YouTube commenting on the matter. In the clip, Lowe alleges that all that stuff, Joseph Maldonado Passage, was misreporting his taxes. So I don't understand, how would you misreport sales tax? Under? Like, report it lower and then keep it?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's a bunch of people that are used to screw people. They know how to do this. We don't.
And they were giving away that food off the meat truck, right?
Yeah.
Or no, weren't they selling it?
Maybe.
I think they were making pizzas with the Walmart 3-day-old bologna. And then.
God, yes.
So, yeah. More nuggets of gold from the Tiger King camp of people.
Yeah.
This has to stop.
I love it. Right, I got to go back and watch Tiger King again. Just like American Factory. If you haven't watched American Factory, watch it.
All right. Shall we dump? Shall we trailer dump?
Let's dump it.
All right. So we got a bunch of trailers for shows coming to Netflix. We have The Order Season 2, which is about werewolves.
What? Are shows getting campier and campier now, or am I just getting older?
No, they definitely are.
Both.
Okay. Like, Wing, I like that answer.
Netflix is both basic cable daytime programming and prestige HBO content. Like, they're trying to have it both ways.
I'm okay.
So
I wish they had two different sections, though.
Right. So so for all of the prestige content on Netflix, like Tiger King, you get this garbage.
The Order is about
Tiger King is prestige content.
It actually is. It's a good documentary. It's fun. And it captured all of us during the plague. But
I know, but
The Order is about what, like the Knights of Columbus or the Knights of Christopher, which are werewolves? Or
the Hermetic Order of the Sacred Lotus
Blue
Blossom?
Flower Rose Lotus? Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. The Wasp Network on Netflix?
So this is Harry Potter meets the Skulls, right?
You're talking The Order Season 2.
Yeah.
Yes. What about the Wasp Network? Which one was this again?
Well, if you take the other meaning of Wasp, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, I believe that, right? Okay. So the Wasp Network is actually about Cuban spies.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Penelope Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't... This looked good, but I think they gave away one of the big twists in the...
Yes.
Show, like right in the fucking trailer.
Yep.
So, not cool, Netflix.
Makes you not want to check it out?
Well, it's Netflix. It's free. They're like, you're going to check it out anyway. It's free, Beef.
I know.
And their non-English language or their semi-English language stuff does really well. So, because like global audiences will watch it.
Right.
You know, with different segments subtitled, so...
Yeah, we're watching like Moana. Shark Tacko is watching like some crazy show from other countries, which are in the deal for Netflix to come in. Like, you have to produce that thing. A little bit like Kim Convenience here. So, we've been on a rampage of all the world around weird TV, which is great.
Check out Dark. We'll talk about that in a couple trailers. I've seen way too many of these trailers here, and they're all season twos or threes, and I have never heard of any of them.
So the next one is The Politician.
Have any of us heard of this?
Yeah, we definitely did the trailer for season one. The same with The Order. We've definitely done these before.
I gotta stop drinking so much.
The Politician is also very campy. Gwyneth Paltrow is in it.
It's older woman politician and a younger up and coming, you know, hungry dude trying to. I don't know this. No, I got no dice on this one. Either you.
Yeah, I didn't watch season one. I kind of meant to, and then never got around to it. And now that the trailer for season two is out. That's like the thing. Like, if the trailer for season two is really good, that's going to tell me, do I want to go back and watch season
one? Watch one?
Yeah, and catch up. And I don't think so.
And the answer is probably no. So, yeah.
All right, Beef. Talk us through Dark season three.
I can't really say too much. But Dark season one and two were time travel. Like, I don't know. There's some shit. Small town. Again, like, I like small town. Something buried under the town. Some weird shit. I don't know. It's like people. It's time travel, but it's not. It's how everything's cyclical. There's a loop. They're trying to untie the knot. This is the third and final season. And if you know me, you know my love for frequently asked questions about time travel. It takes the end of season two takes a very similar twist to the end of that movie. So I did just spoil you a bit, but it adds that season three being the final season, I think they're going to do some really interesting stuff with this. And this is Wing. This is going around the world in 80 days. This is German as hell. And it's either subtitled or semi-crappy dubbing, so I want to go back, since I watched both the first two seasons dubbed, I want to, now that I'm apparently liking subtitles, I want to go back and at least watch the last few episodes of season two subtitled, and then get ready for season three, which comes out 11 days from recording. Yay.
Mr. Subtitle.
Dude,
so
weird.
I read the comments on the YouTube video for this, the trailer. And one of them was like, this is the show that's so good, but nobody spoils it because they have no idea what's happening.
Pretty much. That's, I could say that.
All right. Another show that I may need to go back and revisit, Search Party. This is the trailer for season three on HBO Max.
What? I don't even know. What was this one again? Like, I don't. How have we never heard about the other seasons?
It's maybe from Arrested Development, and she's being tried for murder. And it's basically, did they kill someone?
Is this the millennial murder mystery?
The millennial murders.
Yeah. It looks quirky and fun, but it's a season. I mean,
yeah, so it's on HBO Max. They have season one and two.
Are the other ones are they anthologies where it's not the same cast of people?
Nope, it's the same cast from season one.
Oh, okay.
So I've heard good things about it. I might want to check it out.
Yeah. Wing, what about? Actually, I could ask direct this to both of you. Doom Patrol season two. Did you both watch season one?
Yes,
I didn't. So Wing, talk us through what we're looking at.
It's really good. No, seriously, that's a very, very good show. So, what it is, it's the X-Men, but they're all monsters, basically.
So it's the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
You know what, actually, yeah.
I like it. Nothing.
No, is it Penny? It's Penny Dreadful. And it's got Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, so it's really good, and it went under the radar because it was on DC Universe.
DC Universe,
which
nobody
cares about.
This is the one that's jumping to HBO Max. It's not Teen Titans, which is kind of this is a spin-off
show. That's the thing. Right. Teen Titans sucks.
Gotcha. This is what I'm interested to catch up on when I can watch HBO Max on my TV.
Have you guys seen the?
I have a computer on my TV. All my problems are solved.
Well, not all of us have that set up.
Actually,
some of us
you could
use our computers for work because we have to work at home now.
You know, if you had a browser, like anything on your smart TV, you could just log into HBO Now that way, or HBO Max that way.
You're talking to me like I wanted go through that extra step.
I'll just
go to Netflix, Hulu,
but
Disney Plus,
but if you
want to
watch something
Prime
on HBO, yes. It's just one extra step away.
All right,
this
last
hurts.
Trailer, tell me about it.
I'll Be Gone in the Dark. This is, I guess, Patton Oswalt's wife was a, like...
Michelle McNamara.
I'm sorry. She was a... I don't really even know.
She
criminal
she was
writer?
Investigator?
She was a, yeah, but she was an amateur blogger. She was just someone who was interested in these... this story of the Golden State Killer, this long-running cold case, and started doing a blog and kind of investigating it on her own.
And solved the fucking thing.
And that led to them catching the suspect.
Yeah, this looks good.
She tragically died, you know, before he was brought to justice. And this is kind of like a posthumous... look at all
yeah,
of this.
They
it's a six
her
part
book, I believe, too.
Yeah, her book was finished, and then this is the documentary on all of that. Six part documentary series on HBO later this month.
You had me at HBO documentary.
Yep, I knew it. I knew it. That's why I put it last exactly. For TV shows. I actually did the same thing with movies. So movies you can watch at home coming soon. Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga.
I can't. Is anybody on the show interested for this?
Yes. No. Yes.
Okay.
I actually am. They got me with Dan Stevens being the rival.
Yeah, that was your tipping point.
I think so.
See, it's Netflix, so I mean, if I was really stoned and in a state where weed was legal, I mean, maybe, yeah. But
I've also become slightly fascinated with the Eurovision Song Contest. It's not something that we're really familiar with here in the States, but it's a huge deal, right, Wing?
I'm almost American. What okay. Are you talking about? I'm not a European.
I don't know. Like it just.
I speak French. That's it.
All right. 7500 coming to Amazon with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I like him, and this is an interesting.
Still acting?
This is an interesting concept.
That was my take too, Wing. You read my mind. Like, what's the last movie he did?
Hey,
like, really?
No, because it's
Batman?
Amazon.
Oh, yeah,
Looper.
That's true.
Looper was after Batman, wasn't it?
No, that was before.
I mean, what's the last movie you really remember him doing?
The masturbating guy.
What?
The masturbating guy.
Yeah, the guy that loves porn, but he has a girlfriend, and she doesn't want him to watch porn anymore.
Oh, see, I was thinking when he played Edward Snowden.
I didn't see that
or
either.
Or he was on a bicycle. Or he was dating Zooey Deschanel.
Good point, but yeah. Anyway,
right. So, but also, doesn't this seem like super low budget?
He was in yes. Knives Out.
Was
he? Was he was not in Knives Out?
Yes, he was
Out.
Detective Hard Rock.
He was
Detective Hard Rock.
Voiceover on
a voice.
He was in his friend movie.
He was in The Last Jedi too. He was on the radio
in 2016. He was in Straight Outta Oz. He played the wizard in Straight Outta Oz. He was in The Last Jedi voice. Did you just say that?
Yeah, I did say that.
Damn it. Sorry.
But in the end, maybe he's producing or something like that. If we go back to Clint Eastwood, the movie I was talking about at the end of the cast was the 1517 to Paris. He directed the thing. He doesn't play in it.
Looper was after okay. The Dark Knight. Ha-ha.
Yep.
Oh,
and wow. He didn't really look like himself in that either.
No, he did not. He kind of had that weird jawline of what's his face. But yeah. Back to 7500. He is a pilot. His wife is a stewardess.
Uh-huh.
And
I don't think that's legal.
Flight attendant. I'm sorry. You meant that they can't work together. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, the plane gets hijacked. Some people start to die. The dude wants to let him in the cockpit because he's dumb. And then he starts telling the people on the plane, hey, they don't have guns. If you work together... you can stop them. So, I mean, I guess it's been 19 years since we had major hijackings. It should yeah. only trip some triggers.
It's too soon?
I don't know if it's too soon. I just...
We'll
see.
Okay.
I don't have to rush out to see it. It's Amazon. Well, it's free. I'll probably watch it on a Saturday. This is one I might actually watch.
There
All right. One... I really want to watch, and I want to do on this podcast.
I would.
Inmate number one, The Rise of Danny Trejo.
Yes. I want to. Or then, Cholo number one. Like they kept saying, for years he was just inmate number one or Cholo number one or gangster number one. This looks Machete. Good. This looks really good.
I am so into this, and I am so into his positive energy.
And have you seen his Animal Crossing town?
Such a nice guy, yeah.
He's so heartfelt.
I mean, I don't play Animal Crossing, but I've heard. But
yeah, and he's doing videos, and he has a talk show in Animal Crossing.
We don't deserve him.
No, we don't.
That'll be our doc for next year, I think. Okay, and we have two movies coming to theaters eventually. The Nest.
What was this one again?
Yeah.
Jude Law in a House.
Oh.
No.
It looked very thrillery, but I would have been okay with it. And then they said something about how married couples can dig at each other or something. And I'm like, I'm out. I'm not married.
I like the house movie we did last week with Kevin Bacon.
Like the trailer, I'll see that one because it's Kevin Bacon and Stir Echoes.
Yes. You have to watch Kevin Bacon. It's the law.
You have to. You're related to him somehow. So this is from IFC Films coming September 18th. Okay, Archive from Vertical coming soon. Archive is We Built a Robot and maybe not a good idea.
So every robot AI movie?
Yeah, so Black Mirror meets Ex Machina meets Hannah, I think.
Can we make a movie where we make robots and it's cool?
No, because it'd be like a 2-minute movie. We made robots, everything got better, the end.
We fell in love with them and we stopped reproducing. I don't know. We did.
Watch Her.
I forget where you guys stand on Red Dwarf.
It's magical.
I've never seen it.
I want us to get to the point of AI where we have Talkie Toaster. And that's it. Like, we just stop with the toaster that just keeps saying, do you want some toast?
That worked. Why?
And just stop there. That's all we need. Do you want some toast?
Good to have goals.
What have we been watching, checking out, reading, playing recently? Spoiler-free reviews, Beef.
All right. So I'm still on Fringe. I'm almost done with season 3. Secrets of the Abandoned is still great. I bought season 3. The Night Clerk. Okay, so I went on a movie bender this weekend. Amazon or Netflix has The Night Clerk, and it is weird and quirky. A dude with Asperger's is the night clerk at a hotel. Some shit goes down. He watches people to like observe them so he can act more normal in society. And so clearly he knows something that went on. And Anna D. What's-her-face from Knives Out, who I see in everything now, and I love her, is in this. So this was good. Diamaras or whatever. And
she's also in the Wasp Network.
Yep, that was the one, yes. So I might give that one a chance just because of her. But Night Clerk, it was fun. It wasn't great, but it was a psychological thriller type deal. Then I started my weekend of Quentin Tarantino rewatching again. So I told you, Lobster, a few weeks ago that I saw a supercut of all of his movies, one big trailer. So I watched The Django. And I think I've...
Unchained.
The Django Unchained, correct. I think I only...
And we just say Django, no D. We don't say the D.
Right, Django. I think I only saw that once in the theaters. And I really liked it sitting at home and just kind of absorbing this long movie. And Christopher... What's his face? I don't ever remember.
Waltz.
Yes, Waltz.
Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz. He is awesome in this. So is Jamie Foxx. Yep. They work so well together. Yep. One Cut of the Dead... This is a hour and a half, 2-hour flick. It is what it sounds like, One Cut of the Dead. It's a zombie flick for part of it with the one cut and about the 35 minute mark. Everything changes and it's an amazing movie. You both need to check it out. I might force you both to do it on the cast sooner than later.
Cool.
Kill Bill 1 and 2.
The Whole Bloody Affair?
I didn't watch The Whole Bloody Affair, but I did watch 1 and 2. I think that's cut differently, if I'm not mistaken, because I saw that was a thing, and I couldn't find it online. But I love 1, because, 1 is 1. But right about the time that they start getting to the crazy 88 fight, I'm checking out. Like, I've seen enough of the
That's
blood.
That's where the movie starts.
I've seen enough of the blood. I've seen enough of the yada yada. So I'm looking at my phone by then. And then watching the second one, there's more story. There's less fighting. There's more subtitles. I loved the second one more than I ever have. I used to not appreciate it as much because of the subtitles and less fighting. But God, I'm getting old.
It's so good. The second one is so good.
So this is something that we may need to revisit at some point and do the whole bloody affair. Eric from Art House Legends has been trying to get me to do this.
I would do
it's
it.
Long. It's really long, though.
It is long, for sure.
They added a bunch of shit that you're like, oh, that's why you cut that.
That would be the one that we'd have to do the cast on, like, a Saturday.
Do 5 hours of sitting and talking.
And then my last one is something that Lobster recommended to me, so I will just say I recommended him One Cut of the Dead, and he came back with check out Sorry to Bother You on Hulu. It has the gentleman that played Damani
and Lakeith
plays
Stanfield,
the cop in Knives Out. Sorry to Bother You, really weird, psychedelic, fucked up trip. I had no idea where it was going the whole time, but I had a good time with it.
I mean, their dicks are really big, right? Spoilers.
Shit, I'll cut that.
Okay. Yeah, right? Okay. So that was a good recommendation. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. I'm trying to stay up with two current shows, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Barkskins on Nat Geo. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I just love. And they're doing a final season, which is great. Sorry to Bother You. We were kind of, in this thing where we want to check out some of these films. A lot of the streaming services are featuring, movies with black stars from black voices, black perspectives, and things like that. So I said, hey, let's watch Sorry to Bother You. That was one on Hulu that was recommended. So she enjoyed it. We were a little surprised at how bizarre, but also how, like, current events it was. Because there's a riot, and there's, you know, they expose systemic racism, and they talk about having your white voice.
Oh, Tessa Thompson is in it as well.
And Tessa Thompson is in it. It's got a great... It's got an amazing cast.
What's his... one of the white voices is Patton Oswalt.
One is
Oswald.
David Cross, and one is Patton Oswalt. Yep. And it is just so bizarre. It goes in directions you do not expect. But I want to say it adheres to the Chekhov rule. So be mindful of that. We also checked out Crossing Swords on Hulu. What? This is an animated series from the Robot Chicken guys.
Oh, is this the dirty one?
It is the dirty one where they're like peg
people, like Legos.
Peg people, weebly wobbly type people, and that's the animation style. But it has full frontal nudity, and I mean full frontal nudity. We watched the first episode. I don't think it's my type of humor, so I'm not sure if I'm going to continue with it, but it's interesting that it exists. It's kind of a fantasy setting, medieval times. Again, I don't know if the humor is my thing, but it's definitely worth checking out if you're into that kind of thing. So we also kind of had this, we really weren't feeling anything too, I guess, thinking. Again, we watched Sorry to Bother You and a couple things that were heavy. So we went through the Marvel movies on Disney Plus and tried to pick out ones that, again, I've seen all of them, but my wife has not seen all of them. So we picked Thor the Dark World and Avengers Age of Ultron, which were two she could not remember.
Do you love your wife?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Why you do that to her?
Well, these were ones we agreed on mutually that were ones we would check out. So I want to talk about Thor the Dark World for a second. This is like bottom of the list for most people on the MCU charts. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't hate it. For some reason, it kind of works for me once you get past the fact that it's really not going to work. I think there's some good humor in it. There's definitely some cool visuals. If you look at it as kind of set up for Thor Ragnarok, I think it all plays pretty well. The other one that's kind of at the bottom of the list is Avengers Age of Ultron. So this was Joss Whedon's second Avengers film. This one got a lot of flack for all of the setup that it did for Infinity War. It really hammers home, Infinity War is going to be a thing, and these are Infinity Stones, and all of this, you know, they have to shoehorn everything in, and they set up Scarlet Witch and Vision and Quicksilver and all these characters. And I gotta say, watching it in retrospect is really rewarding, because you see a lot of stuff that pays off later that at the time you were like, huh? But now you're like, huh, they really did have a plan.
Silent plan?
Oh, stop with that shit.
yeah, so again, like, these are not maybe the greatest in the MCU, but these are ones that are, again, for me, they're fun to go back and revisit. Also, my local comic book shop opened up again for the first time in 3 months. They were allowing customers inside. So I had a very small pull list this week. I got Marvel's Marauders, number 10. This is, again, this is one of their X titles. It is basically X-Men on a pirate ship is the selling point for that one. Again, the current X storyline revolves around the island nation of Krakoa being the mutant sanctuary, and the resurrection protocols, where they can basically bring any mutant now back from the dead. So that changes the stakes a little bit. Adventure Man number 1, this is a new series from Matt Fraction and the Dodsons doing the art. It just looked really cool. I have not cracked it open yet. And Ablaze Publishing has been doing basically the classic Conan stories by Robert E. Howard. They did Queen of the Black Coast, and now they're doing Red Nails under the Cimmerian banner. And what's kind of cool about these books is they're the original stories, but they present them in kind of an adults-only style. So there's nudity and swearing and things like that. So it's Conan Uncensored.
I like nudity and swearing.
Hey, who doesn't?
On my side, I've been playing a bunch of video game again, and the best thing is that I haven't started it, but I was able to exchange some of the game that I finished for the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order game.
Okay.
That came out at Christmas, so I'm very, very excited to start that soon. I'm going to finish Final Fantasy VII like in the next couple of time that I play. And I'm going to jump in this. I hear it's very difficult, so I might be to this for a while. But hey, the life of a Jedi is never easy. So,
one other thing I want to mention. So I did finally get my Blu-ray copy of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I had ordered it from Amazon, but it got lost in the mail. So now I finally have it in my hot little hands. And I'm excited to watch this, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. A fan theory that I just found out is that Rick Dalton, who is an actor who works in the 1960s, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, the fan theory is that Django Unchained is actually Rick Dalton playing Calvin Candy and not Leo DiCaprio playing Calvin Candy. So if you imagine that this is a film role he took on later, in his career.
That's fun.
Because you know they're all connected, right?
Yep. All the same universe.
Okay.
All right, so that's what we've been up to. What's coming up?
Next time, Legends Podcast. Midsommar?
Midsommar.
Summer. Is this the horror one? What is this one?
Yeah, this is Ari Aster's... Ari Aster... who did Hereditary. This is his follow-up, IKEA murder, I think this is about.
Okay.
Word. Have a comment, question, recommendation? Email us, legendspodcasts@gmail.com, with an extra S for stones. This has been episode 477 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, woohoo, horror movie in Midsommar.
I'm John D saying, oh yeah, I also watched Dragon Ball the movie, and that was great.
That was good, eh?
Yeah, okay. That was very good.
I'm John a Lobster saying, stay safe, stay healthy. Hey, I got a cool ring I want to sell you.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast, plural. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada or GunnaGeek. No infringement is intended.